A lot of people default to, well, you know, I work with entrepreneurs or small business owners. The problem is it's too broad. We need to go narrower, because unless you have an unlimited budget, you can't target broadly. We have to choose who the best people are for us to work with. And that's where we need to direct our marketing efforts. So for my business, you know, our ideal clients are consulting firms and professional service firms. They typically tend to be in that $2 to $15 million a year in revenue range. And the problem that they have is they know that there's opportunity for growth, but they're not sure what to do to make it happen.
Welcome to the Small Business Storytellers, the show where we dive deep into the stories and secrets of businesses focused on not just making money, but making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers, and my passion is helping businesses grow that are making the world a better place. Every episode, you will hear from transformational leaders and business owners as we dive into what has helped them grow and what has helped them stay true to themselves along the way. Also, every week we are hosting live conversations with our guests on Fireside Chat, where we give you, the audience, the opportunity to ask them your burning questions. So make sure to join us live on Fireside Chat on your mobile device. Let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. On today's show, we're going to talk about marketing. I think it's really important that every so often we come back to some of the basics of business and talk about marketing and sales and really how to get your business out there. And we're really going to talk about what are some of the fundamentals of strategy behind marketing. What things should you be thinking through? What questions should you be thinking through? And to do that, I'm very excited to have as a guest on the show, Tim Fitzpatrick, who is the owner of Rialto Marketing. We're both here in Colorado, about an hour and a half away, but it's always fun to be in the same state. So Tim, welcome to the show.
Seth, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Before the show, before we hit record, we were kind of talking about we're both strategists. Like, we both like thinking at a high level. And so I think there's gonna be a bunch of fun things we can talk about today. But to start this, I kind of just want to dive right in. Like, where do you feel like most small businesses are missing? Like, what are they missing when it comes to marketing strategy? Other than a marketing strategy, because a lot of small businesses don't even have a marketing strategy. But what are some of the key things that small businesses are missing in regards
to
that?
I agree with you. I think most don't have a strategy. It's very easy to just start taking action. You know, I got to have a website. I got to create content. I got to be on social media without really having strategy behind it. And the problem is the strategy. I like to just call them the fundamentals, because no matter what discipline you're talking about, everybody is familiar with the fundamentals. Right. But the fundamentals lay the foundation for you to build the rest of your house from. And the fundamentals with marketing are the fuel for the vehicles, which are the channels you use, the tactics you use. So if you just jump into the tactics, you've got vehicles with no fuel, which is not going to work long term. It's so easy to skip them because nobody talks about it, right? There's right. all this information overload when it comes to marketing, and we all want to, you know, I got to be on TikTok or whatever the cool new thing is. That's what we default to, but we got to come back to the fundamentals. So when I think about the fundamentals, Seth, I like to keep things as simple as humanly possible. So I look at it as, I call it the marketing strategy trilogy. One, everything starts with your target market and who your ideal clients are within that market. Once you understand that, then and only then can you move on to the second element, which is your messaging. How are you going to craft a message that is going to be clear and engaging to that target market? And from there, the third one is you got to have a plan. What is your plan to get that message in front of those people? Everything else you can build upon from there, but those three elements lay the foundation for you to be successful with your marketing. And if you don't have marketing, you can have the best product or service in the world and nobody knows about it.
Yeah. I love how simple those steps are. How do you delineate the difference between marketing and sales?
That's a great question. I think marketing, To me, marketing is getting someone who has a need or a problem you can solve to know, like, and trust you. That's it. If marketing is doing its job, it is sending you warm leads that you then pass off to sales. Right? So marketing helps you get found. Sales is how you get paid.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a good, that's really good. It keeps it really simple there. Let's use your business as an example. If you don't mind, talk to us through like your marketing strategy, how you're talking about what the vehicles are, you know, you're getting fuel in the vehicles. Like what are some things that you're, putting time and effort into and that you're thinking about when you think about the marketing fundamentals for your business?
Well, so for my business, my ideal clients, so when we look at target market, a lot of people default to, well, you know, I work with entrepreneurs or small business owners. The problem is it's too broad. We need to go narrower, because unless you have an unlimited budget, you can't target broadly. We have to choose mm-hmm. who the best people are for us to work with. And that's where we need to direct our marketing efforts. So for my business, you know, our ideal clients are consulting firms and professional service firms. They typically tend to be in that $2 to $15 million a year in revenue range. And the problem that they have is they know that there's opportunity for growth, but they're not sure what to do to make it happen. Okay. They tend to, mm-hmm. they're already investing in marketing. They either have a small in-house team, maybe a marketing coordinator or a marketing manager, and or they're outsourcing some of the tactical marketing efforts to an agency or a freelancer to do that work for them. But the problem is they're not getting the results that they expect. Maybe they're getting zero or limited results and they're not sure why. And we step in and help them solve those problems and then manage their plan. Because our ideal client is we're working with the owner who is still managing marketing. They're trying to run marketing and while they're spinning the other mm-hmm. five plates that they have.
Right.
So those are our ideal clients. Okay. So are they small businesses? Yeah, they are. But notice how much more detailed I am about that. You start to get a picture of, oh, I understand who these people look like. You have to understand mm-hmm. that for your business first and foremost. Otherwise, you're throwing stuff up against a wall and hoping it sticks.
Yeah. So when you're looking at your channels and the channels that work well for you, what are channels, you know, you have the clarity yeah. around your audience. Then it sounds like the next step from a strategy perspective is thinking like, okay, what are some of the channels that I can help these people to know, like, and trust?
Absolutely. Us? So for me, content is big. I'm huge into content. People like me that are in selling our expertise, content helps you stay in front of people. It helps people find you. It helps you build credibility and trust. I think it's an absolute essential. So content is huge. What I'm doing right now, right? Guest podcasting, getting on mm-hmm. and being interviewed. Big tactic for our business. We have our own podcast. Our podcast and our guest podcast content also drives a lot of our other marketing activities. So on social, you know, we're using that for social posts and resharing it. Very simple thing right. to do. From a social standpoint, LinkedIn is our main marketing channel. We're on other social channels, but in the business to business space, LinkedIn is a pretty prime place to be. So, you right. know, it's just now, if I wasn't in the B2B space, then I might not be spending a lot of time on LinkedIn, right? Part of right. what we choose to do from a marketing standpoint really depends on where our ideal clients are, right? Do we want to fish where the fish are? Or do we want to just like cast a broad net and, you know, put a line out in the middle of the ocean and see what happens? Mm-hmm. The latter is not the yeah. best approach.
Right. So It sounds like you have clarity on what channels you're saying yes to. I see a huge weakness in a lot of people's marketing strategies because they don't know how to say no. So talk to me about the like shiny object syndrome of the internet and media and us feeling like, okay, we got to be everywhere. We got to use all these channels. Like what risks do you see in that? And then how are you helping to understand what you should say no to?
Yeah. So, there's a lot of answers to this question. Let me try and break it up a little bit. And if I get off course, redirect me, because this is a okay. really good question, and it's a really important question. The downside to not having focus is you spread yourself too thin, and inevitably you waste time and you waste money. The way to avoid all this distraction and this noise and this urge to feel like I've got to be everywhere is you have to have a plan, right? When we have plans, we know what our priorities are. We have clarity. And when we have those two things, we can eliminate distractions because we know exactly what we need to do. So the way you avoid that, you got to have a plan. You got to put a plan together. And a lot of people struggle with marketing planning. I think the biggest mistake I see with marketing planning is people create plans that are too long. Like a year-long marketing plan, in my opinion, is a waste of freaking time. Like our businesses are evolving too fast. The marketing is evolving too fast. I have never spoken to somebody that put together a year-long marketing plan at the end of that year, it looked the same as it did when they started. So why waste the time? We look at planning in 90-day sprints. Keeps things simple. It's long enough to start seeing traction start to take hold, but it's short enough where you can start to make course corrections and you just update your plan each and every month or each and every quarter. Okay. So it's much, much easier. Now, from a tactical standpoint, one of the things you said was, well, how do I know what to say no to? And how do I know what to say yes to? And there is no like all encompassing answer to this question that's going to be applicable for every business, because what we need to look at when we choose what we want to do is there's a few elements we need to consider. One, we need to look at where we're starting from, right? If I'm working with two identical accounting firms, okay, the plans are going to be different. Maybe they're identical, but they're starting from a different place. They have different goals. They have different resources, different budgets. All of those things impact what you choose to put in the plan, right? You know, if one wants to 2x growth in 10 years and the other wants to 10x growth in 2 years, those are totally different plans, right? So we've got to take all those things into account when we're looking at our plan. The other thing is, we need to look at like what our skill sets are and what we enjoy doing. So if I put into a plan, like I love video, Seth, because video can be repurposed into all kinds of other stuff. So all of our content starts from video and then it gets repurposed and broken down into other forms of content. But if I say to a business owner that we're working with, gosh, you know, Seth, you need to use video and you can't stand it. Mm-hmm. You're never going to do it. You're going to hate it. At some point, you're just going to stop. You're not going to do it consistently and it's not going to work. So when we look at marketing planning, it's all based on your unique situation. There is no one size fits all marketing advice, in my opinion. We need to look at the entire picture and then we can start to put together the elements that need to be in that plan to help that client get from where they are to where they want to be. So I know that's not super specific, but does that help?
Yeah. And I love that you touched on like the skill set piece, because it kind of implies that one, you should probably be excited to do whatever marketing you're doing or whoever on your team is doing marketing. Like it should be something that excites you. And I feel like a lot of people, they just kind of grunge their way through trying to be on all channels, and then they kind of end up just representing themselves poorly on all channels instead of representing themselves really, really well on some channels. I think this becomes harder as audiences shift from platform to platform. You know, it used to, we used to be able to say that, okay, yeah, if you want to, you know, reach people under 30, get on Instagram. Now everybody's on Instagram. So it's like, you know, it's not a demographic thing. Like there are all demographics on some of the platforms. And now it's kind of, we're seeing the same shift happen to TikTok, to where their demographic is now expanding. I think that was kind of a cop out for a lot of people for a while. They're like, well, I don't have to be on Instagram because our target audience is people over the age of 40. But now there's these platforms where, like, I mean, no matter what business you are, your audience is on Instagram. They are on Facebook. So with platforms like that, like, how should we be approaching marketing strategy for some of these social media platforms that, you know, virtually everybody in the world is on?
Yeah, I think, again, this comes back to just does the platform resonate with you? Does the type of content that you can post on there resonate with you? You've kind of already touched on the fact that, gosh, most platforms, at least a portion of your ideal clients are going to be there. I think especially on social, what's more important is figuring out, gosh, what are we going to do? There's too many people that approach social from the standpoint of like, I'm just going to post stuff and everything's going to work out just fine. Right. And
yeah, it's like hope marketing, post a bunch of crap and hope it comes back.
You know, it's like, yeah, I'll just post it and you know, people are going to interact. No, it's like, it is social media. You can't just post. You actually have to start taking action and engaging and sharing other people's content to bring more visibility to your own. And so you know, I think the days of like resharing other people's stuff and having that work, it just doesn't work anymore. I think you need to create social content that, again, goes back to your knowing your ideal clients. Like, what do they care about? What's important to them? And you need to create value-added content that addresses those problems that they have, the needs that they're looking to get filled, and just be a resource there. And you need to be consistent about it. You know, if you, like you touched on this, people do try to do too much at once. And when they do, they just end up doing everything poorly. I'd rather see somebody go deep into one social channel, really nail it, get it dialed in, then you can start to expand. So it's okay to start small. You're far better off being focused and really nailing that one social channel before you start to expand. Because if you do too much at once, it's just, for most people, it's a recipe for failure.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I've done that myself. I've seen many, many people do it. I think we've made the mistake of doing that for clients too. It's a hard balance to where you want to be able to be found anywhere, but as far as where you're creating value for your people, you want to be specific with that. It sounds like some of this might be learned from experience. I feel like marketing, usually we're like, okay, well, we tried that and that didn't work. Tell me a little bit more about like your journey, and are there some like, you know, mistakes or challenges that you came across in your entrepreneurial journey that kind of helped to shape your like focus on marketing strategy that you have now?
Yeah, this is a really good question. I have made plenty of mistakes and I continue to make them. But that's okay. That's all part of the process. You know, I think what a lot of people don't understand about marketing is that, man, it's all about testing. Like, we can take frameworks and systems and processes that we know have worked in the past, but that doesn't guarantee that they're going to work the exact same forever in every single market. Like, we're always testing and looking at what's working, what's not, and making those small course corrections. It's the small course corrections over time that make all the difference in the world. I think the biggest mistake I made, frankly, when I got into marketing was like, I just didn't know what I didn't know. There are so many. Let me take a step back. The first business I was a partner in was a wholesale distribution company. I got into this business in the mid 90s, where when like a website was an informational brochure, you know, Google Ads wasn't even a thing at that point. You know, search was barely a thing. marketing then was a whole lot different. The fundamentals of marketing were the same then, but how you got in front of your audience was quite a bit different. There weren't as many marketing channels as there are now. And, you know, we grew that business 60% a year for 9 years. We sold it. I was coming off of that. Like, I was super confident coming out of that. And when I got into marketing, I was like, oh man, I got this. And then I started doing it. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't have this. What is missing in my process here? Like, why isn't this working? And to me, it all came back to the strategy side of it, which is why I love strategy now. And I didn't figure it out on my own, right? I got involved with Duct Tape Marketing Consultant Network. For anybody out there who's familiar with John Jantz from Duct Tape Marketing, like, he's been doing small business marketing for, I don't know, 30 plus years. And he's been talking about, you got to focus on strategy before tactics for forever. That's how I originally got exposed to marketing strategy. And the more I got into it, the more I loved it. And most of the time, you can attribute marketing problems back to a strategic element that is not in place, is misaligned. Like, those things, all the strategic elements need to be in alignment for the tactics to work. And that's why I just keep coming back to strategy. I didn't have a good strategy in the beginning, and that slowed my growth for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great to, you know, see more of your story. And I'm curious, you know, you've been doing this for a while, and marketing changes so often, you know, the platforms change so often, even with, you know, if you're focusing on a specific platform, what's working on the platform changes, you know, what emails are working well in email campaigns now looks different than maybe what you and I would have recommended 2 years ago. So I think there's so much change in marketing. How do you approach, like, keeping the fundamentals the same when it seems like the tactics are, I mean, always changing? I mean, early 2000s, you don't have, you know, Google's an early player, but pretty much not a player. You know, YouTube's not a thing until 2006, I think. Facebook's around the same time. No Instagram, no TikTok. None of the things that when we talk to people, when people say, oh, I'm marketing my business, most of the things that they're doing nowadays didn't exist 20 years ago. So how do you keep the fundamentals the same when the tactics are always changing?
Yeah. So here's the thing. The fundamentals in any discipline, they're immutable. They don't change. Like, we've been talking about target market and your message to that market for forever, right? Standing up and hitting a major league fastball, the fundamentals of holding the bat, standing at the plate, your hand-eye coordination, it's all the same. Like, that stuff does not change. What does change, and as you've touched on, are the actual tactics. And that's why it's so important from a marketing standpoint to test. And a lot of people don't know what's working in their marketing and what's not, because they haven't identified the right metrics or any metrics to track that are going to help inform the decisions that they make. That's how we can stay on top of whether what we're doing is working or whether we need to shift in tactics is the metrics. Too many people, you know, in Seth, you know this, there's so many vanity metrics with marketing that don't mean anything. You know, people are getting reports from their marketing agency going, hey, yeah, you know, gosh, your website traffic was up 30% last month. You know, you've grown your follower count on Facebook. Who cares? Did you generate any leads that converted to customers? If not, then none of that stuff matters.
Right.
So we need to identify those metrics that are going to help inform our decisions. And it's the metrics that are going to help us stay on top of, hey, are the tactics and the channels we're using, should we still be doing that? Or do we need to shift course? And I should probably take a step back too. So the fundamentals don't change, right? But your strategy may start to change over time, right? This is, your strategy is not a set it and forget it thing, right? If my target market may change, right? My target market has changed. When I first got involved in marketing, I was selling mobile applications to elementary schools, middle schools, high schools. I was selling into the K-12 education space. I started getting out of that, and our service offering shifted, which meant our target market shifted. Our message needed to shift. Our plan got updated, right? So your strategy may change over time as your business evolves, but the actual fundamentals behind marketing don't. There's still always going to be an ideal client you're going after. You need to have a great message to that market, and you need to have a plan of how you're going to get that message in front of those people. That's never going to change.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's such a great approach and mentality for it. You know, as we bring this conversation to a close, I'd love to get your perspective on what some of the metrics that you think small businesses should be paying attention to are. I know that changes. You know, every business is going to have different metrics that mean different things to them. We talked about it. You know, we're looking at a lot of vanity metrics. In your opinion, in your experience, what are some metrics that small businesses should be looking at in regards to their marketing strategy and whether or not it's working?
Yeah. So I think there are some pretty universal metrics that apply to almost any business. And you can certainly go much deeper than this, but there's a few metrics I like to start with. One is leads. Like, how many leads are you generating each and every month? That's first and foremost. Like, there's a lot of people that don't know how many leads they're generating each month. In order to determine how many leads you're generating each month, you do need to determine first what the threshold is for a lead, right? And different people have different terminology. You know, there's suspects, there's prospects, there's leads. For my business, a lead is somebody that raises their hand and says, yes, I would like to schedule a free consultation with you. That's a lead. Somebody that goes onto my email list is not a lead. So that's just the definition for my business, but hopefully that gives people an idea of how you might define that. But one, you need to know how many leads you're generating each month. Second, you need to know where those leads came from. What was the lead source? Did they come from referrals? Did they come from social media? You know, did they find you? Did they come through your website in some way, shape, or form? When you track lead sources over time, that starts to give you an idea of where your leads are being generated and which channels are generating the most leads. Right? This is not rocket science. Mm-hmm. You know, if I've been tracking it for 3 months and it's like, oh my God, 75% of my leads are coming from referral. Okay. That's a pretty important channel. Are there some things that I can do better or some gaps that I need to fill to really maximize my referral lead sources? The next thing we need to know is conversions. How many of the leads that are coming in each month are converting to customers? That tells us how many leads we need to get a new customer, which is super powerful. A lot of business owners don't know that number. But if you know those three numbers, then you can start to work things backward because you know, hey, if I need to get five customers to reach, you know, to reach our goals, well, then how many leads do I need to generate? And you can start to work things backwards and figure out, well, what do we need to do to generate the number of leads we need to get the number of new clients we want?
Yeah.
Those are the three that are the easiest place to start. Now, you may have metrics that are very specific to specific marketing channels, you know, so like your email marketing or your social channels. We could talk about this like in its own episode, really.
Right.
But the other metrics that I think are really important after the first three that we touched on, I think it is really important to know the lifetime value of a client for you because, look, most of us don't make just one sale to a customer. If that's the case, you can't consider the one sale what it's worth to get a customer. Mm-hmm. super important, right? Because if, let's say, I do an initial sale to a client and it's $5,000. But that client pays $5,000 a month and they stay on for an average of 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's $120,000, not five.
Right.
Right. Then I can start to look at the cost to acquire a customer. If I understand how much it costs to acquire a customer and I know the lifetime value of a customer, then I can start to look at, man, is my marketing profitable?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And how much can I actually spend? Can I spend more to acquire a customer?
Right. Yeah. Cause, and I've heard in many marketing settings, people pretty much saying like the one who wins is the one who can afford to spend the most to acquire a customer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Dan Kennedy was the one that I think that really popularized that, where the company that can spend the most to acquire a customer wins, because you can spend more than all of your competitors.
Mm-hmm. But you don't know how much you can spend if you don't know that data and you don't know those metrics.
Exactly.
So yeah,
exactly.
I love that. And like you said, I think this could easily go into another conversation because there's so much you could talk about with this stuff. But I think the goal of this is we really want to give our listeners a good foundation of what should you be thinking about when you're thinking about marketing. And so I think, you know, you've given a couple great tips on, you know, what metrics we should be looking at. Everybody would be surprised at how most companies don't know this information. And so I think that this is a great place to start. If people want to talk more with you about this or learn more about you, how can they get in touch with you and your company, what you're doing?
A couple different places. Our website, which is rialtomarketing.com. That's rialtomarketing.com. You can always click the get a free consult button. I'd be happy to chat with you and give you some clarity on where you should be focusing right now. The other thing, if people go to growthmarketingplan.com, at growthmarketingplan.com, we have our 90-day marketing plan template that we use for our business, for our clients. It's simple. The instructional videos there, the template is there, sample plans are there. Everything you need to start putting your plan together and getting results today is right there. Yeah, but you got to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you're just throwing spaghetti up against a wall.
Yeah. Love it. Well, all of those links will be in the show notes below. To our audience, I encourage you to get in touch with Tim and his team if you're wanting to get that free consult and just have somebody else take a look at your marketing and maybe give you some input on what you should be focusing on. So, Tim, this has been great. Hugely valuable. I know even though we are a marketing company, I'll be walking away from this thinking about some things and probably looking at a few things. So thank you for your insight and for joining us here on the Small Business Storytellers.
Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening to the Small Business Storytellers. If you've wanted to start a podcast and have been wondering if you can use podcasting to grow your business, but don't know where to start, I'd love to talk. Head to successwithstories.com/podcast to learn exactly how to launch, grow, and profit from a podcast for your business. Again, that is successwithstories.com/podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And if you like this episode, share it with someone you know who would also like it. If you want to be a guest on the podcast or know someone who would be a great guest on the show, let me know. Thank you. And we will see you next time on the Small Business Storytellers.